The founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message you will hear now, recorded during Dr. Jones' earthly ministry, illustrates his firm conviction that whatever the Bible says is so.
My friends, this is the 14th message in a series of 52, which I bring you on what the Bible says. And I feel that the emphasis today should be on the Bible more strongly than it's ever been before, for the attack has been on the Bible. There are very few people today that would dare say anything against Jesus Christ, but they'll say something against the Jesus Christ of the Bible. They'll say something of Jesus Christ, and when you say he's born of a virgin, they'll deny that. When you say he shed his blood vicariously, they'll deny that. When you say that he is from everlasting to everlasting, God manifests in the flesh, some of them will deny that. See? They deny the Christ of the Bible, but he's sort of become a traditional character in the thing of the world. And we speak of Jesus as a great teacher, and Jesus is a good example and all that. But Jesus Christ, in our modern thought, has been trimmed down by the religious liberals in schools and colleges and seminaries built all over this country. They've trimmed him down, see, to the low level of man's mind. Instead of saying we can't understand, they turn around saying, well, we can understand. This couldn't be and that couldn't be and so forth and so on. So this thing, we talk about Jesus Christ, and we need to think more about what he said about this world. Now, not much said about heaven, not much said about hell. But there's enough said, if we just take it what it says, to settle the proposition. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I'm coming again to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, nothing could be more literal than that. Nothing could be more literal than the question of heaven. Why, he said, it's a city four square. Whole picture is a picture of heaven. Literal measurements of the city, actually measured. Tells us the dimensions of the city and all about everything about it. All right, now there must be a hell. There must be a heaven. I can't believe everybody goes to this plain place when we all die. I know if all the wicked people went to heaven, it wouldn't be heaven to my mother. That wouldn't be heaven to her. So they can't all go to the same place, and there's a heaven and a hell. And I'm glad for what we know about it. It's a great comfort to us to know that Jesus prepared a place for us. It's a great comfort to know that we are saved when we accept Christ. We are sinners because we are lost. We're lost because we are sinners. And we're going to hell if we don't repent. But he hears my words, breathe on him, and sent me, he says. He is passed out of death into life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment. See? Other words, if we are saved, we are saved. We're going to heaven and stay out of hell. Now, I want to talk to you today on what the Bible says about how we are saved. How are we saved? Now, that's plain. Now, that's a very important thing. There isn't much said about it. Not a great deal about that. But how are we saved? Do you know I can take any sinner that wants to know, and in 2 minutes of time, I can tell him how to be saved. If you know you're a sinner, know you're lost. Now, I could talk about it all day, but I could tell you in 2 minutes. The Bible's as clear as day. But I'll get to it in just a minute, the very point I have in mind. How can I stay out of hell? How can I go to heaven? Well, Jesus Christ said he was the way to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's clear. Well, if he's the way to heaven, he's the way away from hell. If he's the way to heaven and I go towards heaven and go his way, I'm saved. Now, the Bible makes it very plain. You don't have to be tossed about on a sea of doubt and all upset and all disturbed. You can know about this thing. It's clear. First place, let's remember this. We're saved by grace. The Bible says by grace you're saved, through faith. And that's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Now, wait a minute. Now, to clarify it more, he says, not of works. Now, everybody's trying to save himself. Nearly everybody. They pay penance, they be baptized, they join a church, or they try to be honest, and all that, and ask them they're Christians, they say they're doing the best they can. Well, the best you can won't save you. It took the best that God could do to save you, not the best you can do. All right? Now, if an infinite God couldn't find but one way to save sinners, then it stands to reason that the man hadn't got any sense that thinks he's smart enough to find a way God couldn't find. Do you mean to tell me that God would have let his son come from heaven's noonday to his midnight and let folks spit in his face, let him die a horrible death on the cross, and let him be hanged there on that cross in nakedness and shame while men gazed and mocked? Do you think God would have let that all have happened if God could have found any other way to save? Now, I'm speaking reverently. There's some things God can't do. God can't do wrong. He's infinitely holy, and therefore, since he's infinitely holy, he cannot do wrong. So if God saves anybody, he has to find a perfect way by which to save him. And God found that way. Now, he let his son, Jesus Christ, come from heaven's noonday to his midnight. He was born of a virgin. He grew up to manhood, lived a little over 30 years, according to the best information we have, walked around among men, suffered humiliation, kicked about, never at home, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And one day he was put on a cross, and when he went to that cross, he said the most significant thing in many ways I've ever heard. If he never said anything else but this, I'd know he was more than man. He said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again." Now, no man could say that. There's never been a man that ever lived that couldn't be killed. Jesus came to us in the form of a man, but he was God manifest in the flesh. Now, he said before Abraham was, "I am. I'm the eternal God, clothed in the form of a man." All right. Now, he took on himself the form of a man and went to a cross and died on that cross, laid his life down. He said, "You can't take it away from me. You think you're doing it, but you're not. I have power to lay down. I have power to take it again." All right. He laid his life down on that cross, bearing the sins of men, of your sins and my sins, and the sins of the human race in that holy, blessed body. And then the third day he rose from the dead. Now he went back to heaven. No wonder the Bible says he's able to save unto the uttermost all who come to God by him. He is able to save. Nobody else is able to save. No church can save you. No church ordinance can save you. No preacher can forgive your sins. No religious leader can do that. Jesus Christ is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I may point you to this way. I may show you that this is a way. A preacher may do that. A layman may do that. But nobody can do one thing for you to take away your sin. But Jesus Christ bore your sins in his body on the cross. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for you. And he bore your sin in his body on the cross. Now he died for you. Now your debt's paid. Now you can't earn that. It's already been earned. Jesus Christ bought for you on the cross a title to mansions in the sky. Now, he paid for it. If you want it, you can have it. But it's a gift. The gift of God's eternal life. Now, this pardon is offered to you. Offered to you. If you want, you can have it. The wages of sin is death. Sin pays wages. But the gift of eternal life is from Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody's trying to earn it. By grace are you saved. Now wait, not of works. Now the average man's got us all an idea like this. He doesn't maybe put it in this term, but he got us all a thinking idea. Well, I've done a lot of harm, but I can do more good than harm, and that'll save me. No, it won't. No, it won't. The best man that ever lived on this earth has to be saved by grace. The purest woman that ever lived. Now, what is grace? Grace is something that I don't earn. For instance, I sign a note at the bank, and the note comes due and they have a 3 days of grace, you know. Well, I don't earn that 3 days. It's just a courtesy. It's all they give me for some slip-up, you know, 3 days of grace, you see. That's just something that I don't pay for. I just pay interest up to a certain time, you see, and so on and so on. Now, grace is getting something that I don't earn. It's something I didn't earn, but I can have it as a gift. See? Now, Jesus Christ bought for me a title to a mansion in heaven. He paid for it with his blood. Now, I can't pay for it. I can't buy it. And the only way I can get it is for Jesus to give it to me. Now, the gift of God's eternal life. Now, remember that now. By grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, how can I stay out of heaven? By just taking a gift. Oh, you say, well, is it that easy? No, it's not as easy as it sounds, see. It's not easy. Sometimes it's be much easier if you could work to get it, because man naturally inclined that way. A man wants to feel superior, and I earned it. I've got it right up here. You didn't earn a house up in heaven. Out of every kindred and people and tongue and tribe and nation, they sing about the blood. Up in heaven around the high throne is the blood of Christ. So you stay out of hell and go to heaven because Jesus Christ bought you a pardon on the cross. He has you a certificate. He paid for with his blood. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, it means exactly what it does to believe in a doctor. Now, let me see if I can make it plain. Here I am now. We'll say I'm a sick man, and I don't know what to do myself, and I've taken some medicine, and I've done some experimenting, but I'm still sick, and what am I going to do about it? Well, somebody said, I know a doctor. It's a very wonderful doctor. I have such confidence in him. I know he cured me, and he's a well-trained man, and he just moved one of the most fellows in the world. Well, I say, all right, send for him. He comes in, and I say, doctor, what about it? Well, he says, you're in a bad fix. There's no hope for you if you don't take this medicine, but I've got the medicine. So he said, here I am. Now believe in me and turn your case over to me. I believe in him and turn my case over to him, and I do that. When that happens, what happens to me? The gift of God's eternal life. You can't save yourself. You can't earn salvation. You can't pay for it. But you know what you can do? You can turn yourself over to Jesus Christ that did pay for it and tell him, now here I am. I can't save myself, but you died for me. I trust you. You said you'd take me. And yes, that's what he said. Him that cometh unto me, I in no wise cast out. If you want to come, I want you to come. One of the strongest statements he ever made when he looked out of the world said, ye will not come to me, ye might have life. Men are not saved because they won't come to the one that can save them. They'll come to a church, they'll come to an organization, they'll come to a secret order, they'll come to something else. But there's only one that can save you, and that's Jesus. And him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. And the very moment you come to him, that moment he takes you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray to help somebody to say, well, I can't stay out of hell if I don't trust Jesus. I can't go to heaven if I don't trust Jesus. But here and now, best I know how, in my heart, I accept you, Jesus. You died for me. I believe in you. I accept the gift you give me, and then, Lord, we'll go to living right then. And we pray to keep us ever faithful in all things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Christian young people who have character and want to grow more of it, who have surrendered to God's will and want to prepare themselves to do it, are attracted to Bob Jones University. If you want that too, contact Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Ask for a free personal opportunity profile.
Listen next week at this time for another message from The Word of Truth, sponsored by Bob Jones University.